Yesterday we just read the pasuk. We got into a nice discussion. I thought it was a good, productive discussion about rite of passage.
What?
Let's review what we learned yesterday. Yesterday we learned the pasuk that Hashem's chasadim, Hashem's chesed klal yisrael, we open on page 2, and we read the pasuk again. Then we'll go with the portion on page 282. Pasuk Yud Aleph, almost a day's pasuk Yud Aleph. Alright, there. How's the volume now? Okay, Mr. Cohen, you'll keep on top of it. I can make it a little louder here also. Okay. You tell me or you could adjust it on top. Okay, I will gather over here that's able to adjust it as well. Okay, Pasuk test. Okay, so Pasuk Yud Aleph, page 282, Va'anoichi, I'm sorry, 282, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Va'akim, Mivnechem, Lenvim, Mivachurichem, Lenazidim, and Hashem challenges us. Va'afen Zayt, Mnei Yisrodim Hashem, is this not so? And as I mentioned yesterday, this is the greatest chesed you can have in this world is that your children should be successful. Okay, people will do anything. They'll give up their lives for their children. There's nothing they would not do for their children. And to have nachas from their children that they should succeed in becoming Yirei Shamayim is an incredible bracha. Awesome bracha. No one is guaranteed, not even the biggest Rosh Hashim, the biggest Talmidei Chachamim, that their children will be Yirei Mushleimim. Those who fear Hashem and complete in their service of Hashem, there's no guarantee for anyone, and for a person to merit this bracha, it is the ultimate gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give a person. And perhaps for that reason, the Pasuk here uses such powerful words. Ha'af in zos. Are you going to deny this? In other words, when you study all the Pesukim throughout Tanakh, Hashem is always complaining. Hashem is a big complainer, no? Hashem complains quite a bit to us that we have not been faithful. We have not been faithful to Hashem. Hashem has been so good to us. He has done for us so much chesed, so given us so much bracha. But Hashem rarely uses such terms to say, ha'af in zos, is this also not true? Are you going to deny this? Are you going to live in a world of make-believe and make-believe that I never have bestowed, I have not done for you this kindness? You're going to be grateful? Why specifically here do we find such a powerful expression? Obviously, this is the greatest bracha that children have the siyata d'shmaita be yirei mushleimim. And the terms we use over here is l'neviim. Your children become prophets. I mean, that's just off the charts. And nazirim. Nazirim means they have a yearning. I remember someone once told me is that the bracha, a very big, very good bracha, a very chashuv bracha that Gedolim would give people is that your children should want to learn. They would not say to them, I give you a bracha that your children should become Talmidei Chachamim, Yirei Shemayim. That's not a proper bracha. The bracha is the children should want, they should love to learn. They should want to be Yirei Shemayim. Because sometimes you find people that tell me that being a Yirei Shemayim, I don't know about that, but being a Talmud Chacham, if you have a good head and it comes easy, so people in this world, they will consider a person who has knowledge as someone who has knowledge to be a Talmud Chacham. But that's not really a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is the person who wants to learn, who is a student. He's a student, he has a yearning, and a nazir captures that concept, because a nazir, you don't become a nazir by yourself. It doesn't happen. You have to want to be a nazir. You have to be mekabel upon yourself to be a nazir. No such thing. There's a discussion of a parent can, like a shimshain, the parents imposed upon him nazirus. That's an exception. But in that 90, I think that was the only exception. There's a whole sugya about that. Can you go? Can you put nazirus upon a child when the child's in your womb? But putting that aside, generally. Shmuel's also, there were four Nevi'im in Tanakh. There were four, there was Shimshon, Shmuel, who are the other two? I forgot, there's a very few, there's Kenegadi Arbobonim, the Avshalim, David's son was number three. Who was the fourth one? There was a fourth Navi in Tanakh. And I once heard a beautiful pshat that's connected the Arba Banim. The Rasha was Avshalom. I don't know how it goes. Very fascinating pshat. Shimshon? Shimshon was the She'en Yodea Lishol. That's why it says At Psach. Who was the one that made him into a Nazir?
His
mother. That's why it's At Narata. Who was the Chacham? The Chacham was Shmuel. And who was the Tam? There was a fourth Navi, and may will come to me as we go through the Shir. Four Nazirim in Tanakh. And it fits perfectly into the Arba HaBanim, and that's also fits perfectly, the whole theme fits perfectly into the sugya of Pesach, because one of the primary things of Pesach is a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, but at the end of the term of Nazirus, v'achar yishte ha-Nazir yayin. You're still a Nazir, but now the Nazir drinks wine. We drink four cups. The whole Klal Yisrael of the Geder Nazirim, and the essence of a Nazir BMS is to want, to have a yearning. You don't become a Nazir automatically. You have to accept upon yourself with will the desire to be a Nazir.
Did the Chachamim frown upon somebody?
What?
The Chachamim, they didn't.
No. Chazal say that's the reason why you bring a Karban Chatos. Because in the process of being a Nazir, you have denied yourself blessing, and you're a choyte, you're a sinner. Some, I think you're referring to that Chazal. Chazal say, in essence, every Nazir is a sinner. But it's an Avera Lishma. Hashem put you in this world to derive benefit from this world, and to use the bracha, the good of this world, as a means to serve Hashem. So if you are denying yourself delicious alcohol, wine, you're a sinner. If Hashem has given you yayin, and you choose not to drink it, by accepting upon yourself in the term of nazirus, which is a vow of not drinking wine, you are a choyte. And indeed you are, and it is for that reason, when the term of Nazirus is over, you are required to bring a Korban Chatos. Chatos is only offered when you do a sin. What sin have you committed? The answer is you've denied yourself pleasure. Hashem put you in this world to enjoy this world and to use the enjoyment as a springboard to serve Hashem. You've not taken... What? Yes. So Chazal say, how could the Torah tell you to do this? The answer is, there's a balance. The answer is, there's something in this world called doing an Avera L'Shem Shamayim. If you're not going to, at times, in this world, deny yourself pleasure, and every day is a day of pleasure, then it's going to defeat the purpose. You're not going to be sensitive to be, you're not going to have the ability to take pleasure and use it as a springboard to serve Hashem. So therefore, it is an advantage to do this Avera, to deny yourself of pleasure, in order that you create in your neshama discipline, so that when you do enjoy pleasure, you will be able to properly channel that pleasure to the service of Hashem. So it's called an Avera Lishma. It's not a shir on the zeros. We have to go weiter. Mr. Weiss, good morning, how are you? Yes. Yes.
Asked them to give his son a bracha.
Yes.
That it should be a big
tabakot. Yes, okay.
So he said that's not a bracha that you could give because that's totally on
the person, the person.
Says, but the bracha that I can give him is that he should find geschmack in learning.
Oh, he should enjoy the learning. And then he'll want to be a tabakot.
That's pshat. Ta'am akitoy tzachra lo yich bebelayla negra.
Yes, so what does that mean? If it's enjoyable, something is enjoyable. Exactly. So that's what a Nazir is. A Nazir here, it's very fascinating. We're describing over here the success. I've been so kind to you, Klal Yisrael. Your children were successful. How do we find success in the children? They were Nevi'im, they were prophets. What else do we say about the children? They were Nazirim. Really? If someone was asking you to describe how your children are successful, it's the last thing in the world you would say is that your children are Nazirim. The answer is, we're missing the whole point of what a Nazir is. The essence of a Nazir is you have to want. Yeah, a Nazir is a holy creature, a holy person, but the Nazirus does not happen by itself. The Nazir has to formally say, Hareini Mekabel Olai Lihiyois Nazir. It's a whole Masechta. Whole Masechta. There has to be a Neder. It's a Neder. It's part of Nidorim. You have to be a sincere acceptance. That means you have to want. And that speaks volumes. If a person wants to come close to Hashem, that is the ultimate bracha. You have to give a bracha. The person should have a ahavas Torah. He should love to learn. If you love to learn, memela, it's going to happen. It's very critical. That's why to the old yeshivas, that's the Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of competition. There's lots of competition. The competition all boils down to is having rebbeim who instill within children the love to learn. The love to learn. This is the defense. I'm not telling you it's a correct defense, but I'm just telling you this. I've heard this as an argument of why today the yeshivas, especially the high schools, they focus on pilpul. Today, no, it would be probably a much greater advantage than in the years the boys spend learning in a high school, they should learn bikkias. 4 years, why can't they spend all the time learning chumash and nach and learning gemara rashi? And you can come out of a yeshiva with broad knowledge of yadus, and yet they shy away from that. They devote the time instead to learning a pilpul. And why is that? So the defense, I'm not telling you this is a correct defense, but the defense is that they find that pilpul opens up the mind of the students and instills within them a love for learning. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of not giving them broad knowledge, but instead putting in them, attempting, this was the original goal, it doesn't always work, a love to learn, an appreciation of the depth of Torah. And thus, when you finish your time, you'll then have a whole lifetime to continue your pursuit of knowledge, of Torah, and Yiras Shamayim. If you just give someone broad knowledge, and then you give them the diploma, and say goodbye, chaval, it could be that, okay, I know enough, I don't really have a very great love, I don't have a great appreciation of the depth of Torah, I'm done, and I'll open up a sefer, whatever I'm interested, but it's not going to be part of my life. This is an argument. Theoretically, there is something to it. Practically, you know, you can't generalize yesh the yesh. Yes, Rabbi Chol, I see you're not happy with that. What?
No, I'm not making any comment.
You're smart. Loim v'tzasi l'guf toiv mishtika. Mila b'sela shtikusa b'trein. Okay, very good. I agree. Yesh v'yesh. You can't, that's what you learn in life. You can't generalize.
Now,
every.
The problem is they learn pilpul, but they don't know
enough. They don't know enough to learn pilpul.
Simple pshat, they don't understand.
Exactly. Okay, there are a lot of counter arguments. Right, okay.
The old line, they know the chumash from the Gemara, they know from the Rambam.
Where is this pasuk? The pasuk is in the Kedushin. The pasuk is in the Kedushin Daf Chav Dalet.
The only reason I know is because I saw the Rebbe Baruch Ber who explains the Rechayim.
Who happened to mention the pasuk Derech Agaf, right?
They don't know the Rebbe Baruch Ber either.
Exactly, you hit the nail on the head. They don't know the Rebbe Baruch exactly. Okay, listen. Whatever it is, as long as the learning, whatever it is, some of them get lucky and they make it up. Some don't. But sometimes you find they make it up. Look, today, you know, everyone is looking for a new niche. You go into the Sfarim stores today. There's a plethora of Svar Manach. It's a new thing. It's like a new frontier. It's coming out like a fire hydrant. People today, you know, okay, we know there are Baruch Bears, we've gone through the Reb Chaims, we have to discover new frontiers. And today, I see to a degree, there's definitely a revival of at least interest in, you know, knowing Chumash Rashi a little bit more, knowing Nach, Mishnayis, going back to the basics. What?
Because they don't never learn.
What do I suppose that is?
Yeah.
First of all, we have today's Sfarim, which have changed everything. When I was a child, I would open up a Navi. It was very the print. You look in the Rashi, the Mitzvus David, teeny, teeny little letters, and the Radak, and you look, and there was nothing available. There was nothing. It was very unappealing.
Yeah,
okay, Mishnayis. It was a sefer sosum. There was nothing to teach you Mishnayos. Kahati was first coming out then, and Kahati, I don't know Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew. Today they have Mishnayos. It's just unbelievable. Now the art school has put out already. Now they have a new series, and they have so many different types of perushim for Mishnayos for all ages, all backgrounds, all groups. Look in the pictures, Caleb. It's unbelievable what I have available. The Mishnah Behira is just not to be believed. The clarity, you never saw something like it. And this, I mean, you don't even need to learn anymore. It learns for you. Okay, we're learning over here from this one. The words literally jump off the page. So that's number one. Number one is we have tools that we never had before. Number two is there's a lot of Torah. Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of Torah, and the more people are learning in society, the more they realize is that you can't advance, you can't make believe, you know, advanced learning, Rav Baruch Bears, unless you know the basics. So people have become to recalibrate, what are we doing exactly over here? Because Baruch Hashem, there is so much learning going on, and you come to realize you're talking to children, and they don't even know the stories in Tanakh, you know, maybe we should spend some time getting down some of the basic you said this in life. Yeah.
There's a whole thing about Sheva, what happened, what repeated. You don't know it. How do you know what to come up with?
Exactly. Exactly. So you go back to the basics. So when I was a child, you go back to the basics, you right away get discouraged. Because if you don't have much background, you start going, the tools were so weak, the tools were so schwach, you get discouraged right away when you try to go back. But today, no one's getting discouraged. It's just a matter of time.
When you finished high school, could you pick up a sefer like
No.
It took years for you to
pick it. I mean, I remember very clearly, we learned in high school, it was part, you know, it was a kunz to get credit from the government, is they taught in English, they taught the periods of Nach. Because you have to teach certain, whatever, besides the regions, you have to teach whatever it was, so they had a period every day. We learn Nach, we learn Yeshua, Levim Rishonim. And we had the Rebbeim taught. The Rebbeim, they got money, you know, they got additional funds for teaching that course, and I guess the government probably paid for that partially. Whatever, it was a nice kunz. And I found it to be extremely difficult, learning basic Yeshua, Shoftim, and it really bothered me, like, why were they having such a hard time preparing for the test? It was painful. It was really, really hard. And it bothered me. Why is
Did
this...
Did you learn it in English?
English! I had the art school. I remember I had the art school, the Judaica Press. They didn't have art school in Shoftim. They had art school in Yeshua, and I really didn't like it. They have the art. They still have that art school in Yeshua.
I
couldn't understand one word that it said. I remember this in ninth, 10th grade. And in Shoftim, there was no art. There still is no art school on Shoftim. It's amazing. They have the new editions, the blue ones. But the Judaica Press, and I found it very, very unhelpful, and it was just a very painful struggle. It really was. Now they have, first of all, Hebrew with the Kudas is not so hard, and they have what's really good, which really got me started, was the art scroll, the Reuben edition, the blue we have over here, the blue in English with a very nice commentary. They have the Hebrew, you know, and then they have a very nice. Very nice commentary on the bottom, like the stone edition of Chumash, which really lays out all the basic yesodos. It's done so well, it's so simple, it's so well written, it's so easy. And once you already know that, then you already have the ability to go into something like this, which is also brand new. It doesn't, I mean, it's time. It's more, it's two things. It's time, you need to have the time. You don't have the time. There's so many things.
But you didn't start out learning language skills, that's.
Yeah, that also is a problem.
To me, I always tell people that you start learning Chumash and you translate the Chumash into Yiddish. I didn't know Hebrew and I didn't know Yiddish. And then you get to Gemara, we have Aramaic and you're translating into Yiddish. It's like,
I know in Lakewood. I don't know about the boys. I know firsthand. I was with my brother, and they were teaching the girls. I don't know if the boys are so good. They were teaching them the Aleph Beis, teaching them like reading skills, and there was an incredible intensity that was applied to these children. And I asked my sister, "What is going on over here? Why they come out made them know the Aleph is backwards. Like the Shulchan be able to go from Tav to Aleph backwards, back and forth, and reading skills. So she said to me, they really feel in this school, I think it's at this, at least for the girls, is that all of the problems, exactly what you said, that the kids are having in the upper grades, in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, is because reading skills. If the reading is not, if they have to catch up in learning how to read, what they should have learned in first, second grade, it starts a cycle. It starts a whole sequence of events
of failure
down the line. And when they're struggling now and they're spending enormous amounts of money on tutoring for these older kids to keep them up to speed, we're
reading or understanding.
That's the question. That's the question. But she told us what she says. She said this is what the school has feels to be very. They have limited resources where they can devote, where they can devote their money, where they can put their money, and they feel the most important thing to devote their resources and their money is in the early grades, first, second, third grade. Is the kids should be fluent in reading. In reading,
yes.
Not memorization,
no.
Not comprehension. Those are things that you can't really.
Boys' schools, they don't teach.
Oh, that's. I don't know what they're doing about the boys, but the girls. And I saw my own eyes, and they said this is just from experience. Instead of spending and pulling your hair out of your head when the kids are in eighth, ninth, tenth grade, and they don't know what the world is going on, and you can't figure out how they got here, to this state of all these problems. So the experts are saying, you know why? It's because they never really were thoroughly taught how to read well, and they're always playing catch-up on their reading skills, and that is preventing them from going to the next level of comprehension and advancing in understanding. And therefore, if you just would get with the system and really apply and torture them when they're in the younger grades to know how to read, then a lot of these problems would just disappear on their own. And that's the approach. Halavai, it's good. No harm done, that's for sure. Halavai, they do by the boys, because my impression is they're not doing this to the same degree with the boys as they are with the girls.
We have to get to tomorrow.
One thing about learning not the Tanakh, not old male has no time for this. They're so obsessed with Daf Yomi, reading that art school thing for 8 pages an omelet.
All right. Listen, the truth is you're limited in time. Everyone is busy. You have to raise a family. You're not in this world. The amount of Torah knowledge you'll come away with leaving this world is a tiba tiba shabiya. Okay, that's the way the world is. You're not here to master the Kol HaTorah Kula and everything. You're here to live in a real world, which means to raise children, to make a parnasa, and to be do chesed and to help other people, to make an impact in this world. And you have to learn. Learning for the average person, your time is very limited. Chazal, it's tradition. You learn a daf gemara. A daf gemara is something which is bolal, bavli. It includes, it touches upon many, many things. You definitely learn a little bit Tanakh when you learn gemara. There's no question about it. You have no choice. A little bit here, a little halach, a little agad, a little this. It is something, and it's very satisfying, and it works. It has kept us where we are today. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The system, to a certain degree, it enhances the spirituality, the ruchnius, without question. If you have more time, halavai, you go to a shir in Tanakh, you go to a shir in Musar, there's no end. But for some reason, this approach of learning a daf gemara works. It works. It's satisfying, it works, it's been proven, Balei Tshuva, it does miracles. You take a person who is not religious and is antagonistic to anything religious, and you sit down with them and you say, there will be no discussion of politics. There will be no discussion of anything but what it says on the page of Gemara. And you sit down with a person who never learned a daf Gemara before, Shor shenogach esapara shnayim echazim betalis zeimesh kulish livezim kulish shali. Read the words. Read the Rashi. Let's go to the Gemara. It's magic. No one knows how this works. Somehow, learning the holy words of Torah changes a person, And it opens up your mind. It opens up your mind to a degree of yirah shamayim, a yearning to want to know, to want to come close to Hashem, to discover Hashem. It works. And the most, what they say works the most is Chumash and Rashi. Chumash and Rashi is the ultimate magic. Anyone that has sfeikos in emuna, this is the mesora. Anyone that has doubts in emuna, the antidote is not to go to all of these inspirational shiurim and these books about Gan Eden and all these things. You know what's this, the antidote to emuna? Today we live in a world where there's Baruch Hashem, there's a whole obsession with emuna. There's a flood of new books on emuna. But if Yerucham Levavitz, it's not only him, it's been many others, says, you have problems with emuna, you know what you do? Chumash and Rashi. That's it. Chumash and Rashi. Who today goes through the whole parsha? What adult goes through every single week Chumash and Rashi? Show me. Mamish, you can count them on your fingers. People who spend the time to learn the most basic thing. Chumash, Rashi, you'd read it again, know every you know the Rashis. Someone once told me, you cannot lane. It's not right for you to be a Baal Kriya and lane for a Tzibur if you have not gone through the Rashis and everything in the whole parasha. You're not doing your job. You're laning the Pesukim for the Tzibur. You know what you're laning? If you know what you're laning, is a different laning. It just comes out. It just, the words come out of your mouth differently, and the people just somehow, they pay attention. They feel they'll be listening. If you find yourself now listening to the Kriya, maybe the Baal Kriya, ask the Baal Kriya, did he learn the Chumash Rashi? And if you find the Baal Kriya that just somehow intrigues you and it's interesting and you listen to him, why do I listen to this Baal Kriya, not him? Why? The other one has a much better voice. The other one is much faster. Why is it that when I listen to him somehow, I'm shaken up a little bit curious to follow along? Ask the two Baal Kriya, did you learn all of the Rashis this week? When you read, you just saying it by heart, or you have this, some the Rashis are coming to your mind as you're reading the Pesukim. You'll be shocked. It's
feeling,
magic.
What? Feeling for words. Feeling
it's just the feeling. Words. It's just.
It's
just.
The same thing with just
you know what? It's not only.
Understanding you davening, it's the same thing.
Same thing, exactly. Exactly.
Most people don't do it.
Who knows Pirish HaMilas, it's
the
same thing.
Is that right? A whole different world. It's a whole different world. Chumash and Rashi is magic. It creates it creates emuna. It is the ultimate way to look in the Meir Shapiro's yeshiva. Everyone knows this. The entrance exam. My great grandfather was a boichein. In order to get into Rav Meir Shapiro, you know, it was hard to travel. They didn't have internet and email. So in order to get in, there were different people that he appointed that they're the boichein. If you live in this city, you don't have to go travel 500 miles to go to Lublin to go and Lvov. It was the lumber.
Lublin,
the mayor, the yeshiva, Chachmei Lublin, Lublin. So you know. So therefore, so my great grandfather of Aaron Levine, the Rei Sharaf, he was the boichein. When you'd call, he would test you in Raisha. I don't know all the geography exactly how far it was to go to Lublin, and if he said you're good, he wrote you a letter, and you go to the yeshiva, the Chachmei Lublin yeshiva, you're in. That's it. You don't have to go through any bechina. You don't have to waste your time traveling to be rejected. There were people that tested you. There was testing centers. Like, Dirshu, take bechina today and Daf Yomi, every 30 days, there are testing centers all over America, all over Flatbush and Barbach. So there was a testing center. So what was the test? Now, I don't remember exactly, but the test was you had to know a certain, you, to come into yeshiva, you had to know a certain number of blots. I mean, finally, only 100 blots. To get in, 500?
Are you kidding?
I don't think 500.
I think it was,
whatever it was. You had to know a certain number. The test was, you were tested on knowing a certain amount, number of daf. And what else? You were tested on Chumash Rashi. You were not accepted to the yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin until you were tested on Chumash and Rashi. If you don't Chumash Rashi, you're not getting in. And in addition, you have to be advanced. To be advanced in, you have to have a certain number of blot. Now, you learn in yeshiva a couple of years, and now you want to get smicha from Meir Shapiro. You give smicha. To get smicha, you had to be tested on an enormous amount of material. And you know what else? You know what else? They tested you again on Chumash Rashi. The exit exam, to get your smicha in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin was Chumash Rashi. It was an enormous amount of daf, whatever they wanted to know, and nochamol Chumash Rashi. Because Chumash Rashi is the Iker Yesoidos of Emunah. If you know Chumash Rashi, you can come into the yeshiva. We're not afraid you'll be not be curious. You'll go and you'll ruin it. You'll have a bit influence on other talmidim. And if we'll let you out, it'll give you smicha and give you an acknowledgement that you're fit to teach other people
to be
a rav. We don't want you being. I want an apikorsim out there teaching apikorsis. We only want to have talmidim that have a shleim yireim. How do we know you're a yari shemayim? If you know chumash and rashi on the tip of your tongue, that means that you're a shemayim. It's the basics. Okay, let's go. Let's give you the Mesudas and Pasuk Yud Aleph on this idea. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzudos David. So I'm back on page 282. V'akim v'chol yimei hadoyroi sekanti b'bneichem l'medim v'hishreisi shechinasi aleihem. Look what he writes over here. This is not typical for the Mitzudos David to say such a thing. He says in all of the generations, doesn't limit. In every generation, Kadosh Baruch Hu always allows there to be children, people who are prophets. Now today we have prophets. And the Nevuah came to an end. Maybe this means it's more of people who are, you know, Yirei Shemayim, they have Ruach HaKodesh. There are people today that have a spirit of holiness. You can't say it's Nevuah, but it's a certain darug, a very high level of the Shechina Midaberes Mitoich Pihem. I have rested my divine presence upon them. Okay, next words of the Mitzudos David on the next page, page 284. Okay, umibachar on the very bottom on the right side. Umibachurechem linizirim nosati bilibam. You see, this I told you before. That's the ultimate bracha they want. I put in their heart Ruach Tahara, a holy spirit, lihiyois nazirim. I want to be a nazir. Okay, that's the ultimate bracha, to want. Yesterday we focused on Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's idea. It was a common rite of passage for a young boy to be mekabel nazirus. Here he's saying something, I think it's even deeper. To success in children is children who want, have a yiratzayim to be holy. Mitzudos David, this shemamash be taken and photocopied and put on every yeshiva, on the front entrance of every yeshiva. The tafkid of the yeshiva is that your children should be nazirim. And when the parents see that, they're going to run from the yeshiva. What, my child should have a ponytail? What's next? A ponytail? The last thing I want, my child should have a ponytail. No, you missed the whole point. The goal of the yeshiva is that your children should love to learn. And a nazir is a dugma, is a marshal of a child who loves to learn, has a ruach tahara, nasati bilibam, ruach tahara liyois nazirim. I think Avram Fritsch make a song out of this mitzvah stuff. A nice, nice song to sing to fatayich the depth of what it means. Umibachu reichem linazirim. What?
I'll tell you a secret.
Okay, please. It's a very powerful yisoid what's going on over here to appreciate what this is all about. We lay in this every year, Parshas Vayeshev. We lay in these psukim. These are very powerful psukim. Ha'afin zois, ritzon eloimar. Look at these powerful, shocking words of the Mitzudos. V'chigam zois techachashu loimar. Shlohoye zois. You're going to deny this also? Klal Yisrael, you're so ungrateful. You have no hakaras atoif. You're going to deny that your children were successful? You cannot deny the fact that your children were mitzuyonim, that you were zoyecha to have excellent children, and therefore you owe it to me to behave yourself and not worship idols and engage in immorality. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph, l'nazirim, take a gunnison, l'malfin. What does it mean, l'malfin? Doesn't mean to teach. Okay? Shehayu pirushin midarke am ha'aretz. The oiskin batayros. Lamaf means to learn or to teach. To teach. Ein nizira b'chol makam elo l'shen perisha means to separate. So he's coming so that they separated their ways from the am ha'aretz. Am ha'aretz are the ignorant of ignorance. It was not a mila to be ignorant. Okay, it's not a mila not to know how to spell your name. Okay, it's a mila to be wise, to be educated, to have understanding. So therefore, a Nazir, he is teaching. He's giving us a little bit of a... I mean, it's all totally zebzeh. But Rashi is the targum. He's coming to fateich, this targum, which is a little bit disturbing. What is a Nazir? Nazir means someone that's long hair, don't drink wine, you do not contaminate to the dead, what was the third thing? You don't drink wine, you don't cut your hair. So he says it means more than that. It means to learn. It means to learn. You don't contaminate to the dead. You don't engage in, I guess maybe what Rashi is trying to say is that these three things of contaminating yourself, it doesn't just mean to the dead. It means contaminating your neshama to things in this world that are dead. All the goyisha forms of entertainment, the goyisha way of life, these are dead ends. The approach to live a life in pursuit of these values is a dead end. So if you're going to devote yourself, that's called contaminating your neshama to the dead. Drinking yayin means enjoying yourself in this world. A person who separates himself from these ideals and instead focuses on becoming a yorei shamayim and learning Torah, that's what a nazir is. That's in essence what a nazir does. Not just the physical things that a nazir does. It's the limud, it's the musar, it's the metaphor of what a nazir really is. That's how Rashi and the Targum seem to translate the words that your children were children who were spiritual people. They pursued spiritual pursuits, not mundane pursuits. Ha'afin zois.
It's not the nazir in the sense of what you know a nazir in the Torah.
Right. Exactly. It's a rabbi prushim. I mean, and those the laws of nazirus are mishalim. Are mishalim of distancing yourself from things that contaminate your neshama and bring joy to your body, and instead focus on ruchnius. Next words,
for example, in Berachos Yaakov, when you reference Yosef, it says, Tiena L'Rosh Yosef, well, the code Nazir Echot.
He was the Nazir, so he was Parush.
Yeah, because he's called Yosef
Atzadik. He's a tzadik, so why is he called a tzadik? That's a separate issue, but he was aluf. He separated himself from all of Egyptian society. In Egypt, distinguished. They were Shetufei Zima. It was the Erva Saaretz, and Yosef was careful. Vayimoyin, he stayed away from Eishes Potifar. So it's very, very good. It's exactly Nazir Chav. According to what Rashi here is telling us, that it really means to be a Parush. Shei Pirushin. Yosef was a Parush from the culture, Egyptian culture. He remained a tzaddik. Very good. Excellent. Very good. Stushel to give an appreciation of what it means in Birchus Yaakov. Nazir Echov. All of the brothers, he was the one that proved himself by living in Egypt and remaining a tzaddik, remaining a parush. Ho'af ein zois bitviyah. Rhetorical question. Kolaymar. Klum atem yecholim lehachish ezos. Can you really deny the success of your children? Impossible. Let's see the Radak. Radak, Pasik, Yud Aleph, back on the previous page, page 283. What was the kindness that I have done to you relative to all of the nations? Shehishreisi, Ruach Nevua Bochem. I have bestowed a spirit of prophecy amongst you, v'yalzeh amam Moshe, v'niflinu ani v'amucha mikol amash apnei odama. This, we mentioned this, we want to spend a lot of time on this, and this is to Moshe Rabbeinu's credit. It's an incredible insight, incredible thing, toiva, that Moshe, perhaps the greatest chesed that Moshe has done for us, besides giving us the Torah. Moshe went to Shem and gave us the Torah. Okay, very good. What else did Moshe Rabbeinu do for us? He demanded from Hashem that the only nation upon whom Hashem will rest His divine presence will be Klal Yisrael, which implies that if not for Moshe Rabbeinu's request, there would be in this world other nations upon whom Hashem also rests His divine presence. And that would make it a very confusing world. It would make the nisyonos that we have in this world much, much more difficult. A person, why should I be a Jew? I can be a guy. They also have the Shechina resting amongst them. And you can sense it. And they have a much easier life. They don't have to do the Tayag mitzvahs. They do other things which make life very easy. It would be a very, very great nisoyon. Today, the fact that amongst the Umos Olam there is no Shrina, when you go and you study the secular cultures of this world, the first thing that hits you is Rak Ein Yiras Elokim, like this week's Parsha, B'Makom Hazeh. Okay, you go touring, you go out, people like to travel. So you go and you travel. Okay, it's very nice to go on vacation, you travel. But many people, when they come back traveling, they go out into the China on vacation, they go to Argentina, they go to New Zealand, they go to Antarctica, you go, all the people, they love to travel. They come back and they say, it's a beautiful world. It really is. The world has what to offer. And if you can go, halavai, go, enjoy the world. But I can tell you something. In China, kirak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. I read recently, I never knew this, that in Japan, pornography is off the charts. Japan is where all the action happens, all the technology. It's where all the cheap labor is. And in Japan, this idea of pornography is mamish diametrically opposed to Yiras Shamayim. When Avram Avinu, this week's parasha, when Avram Avinu came to Avimelech, Eretz Pelishtim, so Avimelech said to him, who's this woman? So Avram says, is that what you ask? When a person comes, you ask, who's this woman? The first thing you should ask me is, do you have what to eat? Do you have a place to sleep? Do you have is everything okay by you? The first thing you want to know is about women. Is that what you... Rak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. If you have a nation, and the first thing is the worst in the world of what goes on there, that obviously speaks volumes, ki rak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. But they have so much what to offer. The technology in Japan is second to none. It's the most advanced society. I mean, that's where the cutting-edge technology is in this world. They're very advanced. The answer is, that's right, they're very advanced, but there's an absence of Yiras Shamayim. There is no divine presence resting amongst them. To who do we owe that credit to? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe said, "V'niflinu ani ve'amicha mikol ha'om asher al pnei ha'adama." Why? It would be there are many reasons why he said this, but the most obvious reason is it would be a very, very big nisoyon for us.
Basketball is
not so bad. Recreation.
But they have no purpose. That is their purpose.
I don't know.
I
hear what you say, but it's a little bit extreme. It's not a lack of Yiras Shamayim. People need an outlet. You'd be surprised. Some of these professionals, they have. There's some of them, not all of them.
This is probably the most religious country in the Western civilization.
Sports is a very good thing in America. Look, they have over here. They have over here an avenue on 17th Street. There's this beautiful stadium, Midwood Field, right? So the government just gave them many, many millions of dollars to redo it. So someone was complaining to me. And he said to me, they waste. They're spending $15 million in renovating. They should give the money to whatever to a yeshiva. So I said, oh come on! First of all, they give plenty of money to yeshiva. They give more money to the yeshivas. And number two, what? So they shouldn't build a stadium. So what would all the goyim be doing the whole Saturday if they wouldn't have that? They'll be killing us. They'll be mugging us, harassing us. Sports is the biggest bracha in America. People are, the goyim are so busy with sports, they don't have time to bother us. It's the biggest bracha, Midwood Field. What would they be doing if not for that?
With an Italian guy who's assistant principal at my school, he had two sons who were track and field in high school. He says, if it wasn't for that, they'd be on drugs.
Okay, exactly.
Says they know that would interfere with it.
Exactly. It's a bracha. It's an incredible bracha. Look, even the Rambam says the Christianity, I don't know the exact words, he says it's a bracha. It gives them religion. It gives them something.
It gives them purpose.
It gives them a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, it's corrupt, but if what's the alternative? To be a pagan and to kill us and to make trouble for us. It's a bracha for the world. They have something like that. The Rambam says this. If I would say this, you would say, get out of here.
And it was censored for many years.
What?
It was censored.
The Rambam.
Many years.
But we appreciate this now.
My father said that his father had a business in Europe. He would, before he would hire a guy, he would give him something to eat. If he did not cross himself before, he didn't hire him.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but say you shouldn't go fantastic. On the road with a driver unless he was religious in some way.
Some way, correct.
It was not safe.
I know my brother. He told me he went to Jordan many years ago. Okay, he was very he was there to Israel. Those were days where I don't know. My mother found out about this. She flipped out. So he went to Jordan. He went during Ben Azmanim. Times were not. Those were like way long ago, and it wasn't. Well, I don't know. Now he went to Jordan. Who was the taxi driver? An Arab. So he said they bedaf go with an Arab. That's what they were told. You go because an Arab once he takes you into his car. They're into hachnosas orchim. He feels responsible. If he's not the driver, he'll kill you. Right? You're a Jew. You're occupying my land, and you're living. And you're a Jew. So then, but once that's their mindset. You have to know how to play the game. You got to enter into their mind. They are oisig in hachnosas orchim. They're bnei Avraham. Avraham is chesed, hachnosas orchim. There's a religion. So therefore, if I'm going to take you into my car, I accept responsibility. No one's going to chepper you. If you're not, if you're going with an Israeli driver, you're finished. If you're going with an American driver, you're finished. But if you're going with an Arab driver, I'm responsible. No one's going to chepper with you. And he said that he was talking very good. He went out of his way. This was his mitzvah of hachnosas orchem. It's an amazing concept.
Anybody Arab used to take in.
You take in, you're mine. You're mine. You're my achrayas.
After a winning game, if they interview the winning, let's say, quarterback or whatever, the first words he will say is
thank Hashem. Right. There are different types. There are different types.
Then he goes, what happened?
Right. The first thing he does, they cross themselves. Yeah.
The media said,
Look up.
So in a way, it brings religion also. It also ends, but you know, to keep people busy is a very important thing. It's a tremendous, very big bracha. Let us move ahead. Let's move ahead in the Radak. Okay, the Radak, back to the Radak. V'niflinu v'tam b'bnechem. So therefore, this is an incredible bracha. This Radak is saying in a very fascinating shot. That this is part of the bracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu here says, I've given you a blessing that only in Klal Yisrael is there such a principle that your children will be prophets. It's a very deep shot. You would never think of this in the Daf of the Radak. What's the significance? V'okim mibneichem nevi'im. This is a fulfillment of the request of Moshe Rabbeinu v'niflinu Ani ve'amcha mikol ha'mashopnei adama, that your children, your descendants will be prophets as opposed to the other nations of the world. Their children will not be prophets. They will not merit a divine presence. V'tam mibineichem afilu hana'odim kishmuel v'yirmya kol shekein hazikeinim sheyesh bohem chochma. So it says from your children, even the young people like Shmuel and Yirmya. Shmuel was how old was he? That's when he went to Eli HaKoyen. So how old was he? He was 2 years old.
2 years old.
He was 3 years or 2 years. He was weaned. He was when she brought him to. She was 2 years, and then shortly thereafter he was sleeping, and he heard a voice, and he went to his Rebbe Eli. What's this voice? Go back to sleep. Until Eli said, Hashem is speaking to you. How old could he have been? He was a child. He was a young person. He probably wasn't even bar mitzvah when that story happened. He died when he was 52 years old. So he's called a nar. And what about Yirmiyah? Yirmiyah, we will learn in Sefer Yirmiyah. Hashem sent out a call for papers. Hashem sent out who wants to be a Navi? And Yirmiyah says,
a proposal.
Who wants to be a Navi? And Yirmiyah said, Yirmiyah was young. Yirmiyah was from a youngster when he started his career in being a prophet. And certainly the Zekanim, which we're not mentioning over here, were also prophets. Pasuk Yud Aleph, next words in the Radak. Page 285 of Mibachurichem, even the young men teenagers, adolescents, whatever they are, they have the taiva for meat and for wine, asati bochem ruach tohara sheyinazru min hayayin, to be a porush, to separate from yayin, the yu kidoshim li ki hayayin hu amevi adam ludroif achar taivas abasar. Yayin causes a taiva for meat. Look how good I have been to you. I have influenced them to be nizirim, not to pursue their taivos, to be holy people. Can you deny the facts? You can't deny the facts. This is history. This is on record.
Some languages have an expression for this, like French, something in German. I know there's a Holocaust story, but isn't it so?
In German, is it not true? Very good. That's right. That's the famous word of Hutner. Exactly that expression in Yiddish. In Yiddish, is it not so? In German, there's an expression in German. It's a very popular expression.
And also in French.
It's a famous story. Rav Hutner, I told this to you a few times. Before the Holocaust broke out, when he was still in, where was he? In Germany, wherever he was. I assume in Germany, in Europe, wherever he was. Was in Poland? I don't know where he was. Before those days. So there was a heated argument amongst the Talmidim if Goyim have a good midah. Do Goyim have good midahs? Is there such a thing that a Goyim... So Rav Hutner argued, no. Everything about the Goyim are bad. There's nothing good about them. Nothing good to say about them. And there was another Talmud that says, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. A guy has a good, and he gave an example. Look at the Germans. When you go, when you go, ask for instructions. How do I get to this address? So he tells you, you go make a right, make a left, and then go straight, and you'll find it. And then in Germany, amongst the Germans, they would conclude, if you would ask them a request, they would say, is that not correct? Is that not so? And it was viewed as an expression of humility. It was viewed, don't think that I'm smarter than you. I'm telling you the answer, but I'm not trying to lord over you and brag, oh, you're a dummy, you're a good for nothing. Basically, you're saying, I think that's the way you get to this location, and if you'll think about it, you'll come to the same conclusion, and you'll realize I don't know anything more than you really know yourself. It appears to be an expression of humility when the Germans would conclude or respond, they would give you the answer, and then they would, this German expression, which Ramachal is saying is the equivalent, is this not so? It was viewed to be an expression of humility. So this fellow told Rav Hutner that you see, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful midah, and you have to learn from that. There is for us what to learn from the Germans. Okay, fine, you argue back and forth, maybe it's not translating the words correctly, whatever it is. So many, many years later, a footnote, they say, was very, very old, he was not so well, and he was in his office, and a fellow shows up in the yeshiva, and he didn't have an arm. He did not have an arm, his arm was amputated, and he had like a hook on his arm.
The same person.
Yeah. And he said, I want to speak to the Rosh HaYeshiva, let me into the office, I have to speak to him. And they said, he's not available now, blah, 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 I'm not leaving until you let me into the office. Fine, he goes into the office and he says, Rabbi Hutner, do you remember me? It's been many, many years. Remember many years when we were very, very young, we had this argument? Do Goyim have good midos? And I said they do, and I prove my point with this example. I'm here to tell you that you're right, and I'm wrong. After all these years, why? Look at my arm. I don't have an arm. It was amputated. In the war, they took me to a camp, whatever happened, and then they wanted to punish me, and the punishment was they were going to cut off my arm for what I have done. So right before the Nazi cut off my arm with a sword, he said to me, we're going to cut off your arm because you're a Jew. Is this not so? He used that same exact expression as the last words right before he cut off his arm. So he said, a guy says something, you gotta be more careful. Yeah, and you have to be careful in when you look at the midah of a guy. Is it good? Is it not good? Listen, there are Mamari Chazal, which do seem to indicate that they do have good midas. We're not going through the whole sugya. But just to point out, you got to be careful. It's in Ishin, because Rabbi Chol is saying over here this expression, Ha'af in Zois, and you're telling me you triggered that memory of in German, there is this popular expression that they say at the end of a sentence, which you're telling me is a translation of Ha'af in Zois, and there's a whole story behind this with Rav Hutner and this fellow in this debate. Can you learn a good midah from a non-Jew? Yeah.
One of the Gedolim once said, the Germans, everything, danke schön, bitte schön, you know, please, thank you. And with that danke schön, bitte schön,
they'll kill you.
Beat you to death.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Exactly. All right, let's continue now. Let's see the Malbim. The Malbim on page 283. The Okim, Ha'achona ha'shenis osisi lozeh. Now the Malbim is continuing in his approach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that he is learning these psukim is Hashem prepared us to enter into Eretz Yisrael. We're discussing the 40 years in the desert. We're discussing our entry into Eretz Canaan. Hashem obliterated the nation of Emoiri because Hashem felt they would pose the greatest spiritual threat to our existence. Hashem delayed our entry into Eretz Yisrael by 40 years so that it should dissipate the conduct, the memories of the abominations that we witnessed in Egypt. Everything that Hashem did for us before we came into Eretz Yisrael was a supernatural chesed to prepare us to live in this holy land. And now this pasuk continues. What else did I do to prepare you? Ve'ha'achona ha'sheinis, this next element of preparation was Asisi Lozeh, Shalasakin Shalotiu Nim Shachim Achra Vodazara, you should not be influenced after idolatry. Haki Moisim Ibrechem Lenvim, Shahanavim Hoyodovik Baruch Hashem, Beloyem Tsoi, a Navi, the essence of a Navi is a direct line to Hashem. He's coming to allude to a very fascinating idea, is that if you're not a Navi, there are channels. You don't go directly. Now this is very problematic and very controversial, is to what degree do we communicate with Hashem through intermediaries? In the Nusach HaTzvilah, this is a very big debate. Some circles, some Nuschois, they have a lot of expressions in the Nusach HaTzvilah where, of Malachim, where the Malachim, the angels, are assisting us in getting our message to Hashem. And other commentators, other Gedolim, are very troubled by these piyutim and these lines, these stanzas, because there's no such thing in Yadus. In Yadus, everyone has a red telephone. Everyone has a direct line to the source. You do not need to go through any intermediary. The Ribbono Shel Olam does not have a secretary. Yeah. Slichus, Malach Rachamim, Malach Rachamim, all over the place. You have all these different nuschais. So, do we delete them? Do we omit them? Or do we? This is a very different approach of when you dive into Hashem. Are you looking for assistance? The Malbim appears to be of the approach in his words that you do. He's saying like a pshara, a navi, someone who's a prophet. He has a red telephone, but the average Joe, his tefillah is channeled to Hashem through intermediaries. Can we bring a chair for this? We'll just start finished. Okay, so this is the debate. So the Malam over here appears to say, Shanavi Yadon Bruch Hashem Beloyem Soy, Yadesh Royla Sharoy Sharo Hanavim, the name Shayadu Shashem Ashkechalayim, Beloyem Soy. A Navi sees Hashem in front of his eyes, and that was instrumental in preventing everyone else from worshipping idols. Velohayut Shikh Lidwash Samesim Vahamonim, those who worship the sun. Lodas mehem to know asidas commercial cost of loyi motzibcha mavir b'nai yubita ba'ish koisim kasam ki agon ma'il asherata d'yorish oisam el me'oinanim the el koismim. These are people who communicate with the dead. All different types of koichas atumah of the dead. We go now to the next page, page 285. Yishmo v'ato loichein. Nosal l'chash l'checha novi mikibucha me'achecha. Leman yafish oisam migili arayis. Fine. So therefore, this pasuk, so he's breaking up the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk that says nevim. I have made your children prophets. This will be a tool to assist you from the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. Because how did Avodah Zarah start? The Emtsoim, the sun, the moon, these are all Hashem's secretaries, Hashem's messengers. So let's serve them. We'll schmaltz them. We'll give them a couple of bucks, and then they will speak to Hashem in our favor. And what happens? It's a slippery slope. Once you start giving them bribes, then you start to worship them. So in order to prevent that from happening, I've given you many prophets, your children are prophets, who see that there's no need to go through any intermediary. You go straight to the source, and the whole Yetzihara to worship items that are in the middle is taken away. So this was a tool that I've given you to give you the ability to overcome the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. What did I do for you as a tool to overcome Gili Arayos? So we already really learned. Hashem wiped out the Emorim, but he's giving us another tool. And for Leman Yafrish, Oysam Gili Arayos, Hakimosi Mibachurechem Lenezirim. Now look at this, an incredible insight into understanding what is a Nazir. What is the essence of a Nazir, and why is Yosef called the Nazir Echav? The highlight of Yosef's career in Egypt was the Nisoyon of Eshes Potiphar. What is a Nazir? Kol haroye Yisoyta Bikilkula Yazir Atzmai Min Hayayin. When a man sees a Soyta, a woman who has been unfaithful to her husband, what does he do? He becomes a Nazir. There's a correlation between Nazirus and Arayos from Yosef and from the Soita, of the Sugi of Soita. So therefore, in order to prevent you from being Nichshol and Gilui Arayos, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, I have inspired your children to become Nazirim. And the essence of a Nazir is something which prevents you from being nichshol and gili arayos. Shetachlis and Nazir shu lahari parash merayos. K'moshe kasev loman nismucha parash soita eitzel parashas Nazir. Shekol arayos soita b'kukulo yazir esasev in ayayin. Ha'af ein zos b'nei shol yutin aloyma haloy loy dlvad shaloy shemarte mitzvaysai. Not only have you are in violation of not observing my mitzvahs. V'chatosem ba'avoyed zor v'gilei rais ha'af ha'achonois she'yishmru aschem mechatoim eila tivatlu. You've even cancelled, you've even denied the tools I've given you that you should not be nichshol, you have destroyed. Ad she'gam zois ein b'neichem lo nevim lo nazirim. Now at this moment in time, you prevent your children, you cannot be a novi. You do not allow your children to be nazirim. Shal yodam yispashet bo umo he'emunas b'Hashem b'apriushas me'arayos. Instead, what have you done? That goes on. The Pasuk Yudbeis and Yudgimel tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complaining that instead of allowing your children to be nazirim and to be prophets, you've taken this away from them by forcing them to drink wine, by forcing them to contaminate themselves in ways which will prevent them from becoming prophets. But at least we do extract from this Malbim this beautiful understanding of what Hashem Elir is saying. I brought you to Eretz Yisrael. I want to protect you from all of the Nisyonos. I've gone out of my way to do many things for you. 40 years, you should forget about what you've seen. I've destroyed the Emorim, who is the greatest, the similarity to the Egyptians, their culture, their way of life is similar to the Ervas Arts of Egypt. I've inspired your children to be prophets, and that will prevent you from worshipping idols. I've inspired your children to be Nazirim, that will strengthen you from the Nisoyon of Gili Arayos. And look what you have done. You're in denial of all these chasadim, and worse than that, you've prevented your children from becoming Nazirim and prophets. And you've taken away the protection, the shmira, and that's why you find yourself in this situation. Okay, tomorrow we will continue.